Welcome to Talk the Dog, the show where we find a bone to pick and a take to give. These are not hot takes. These is dog takes. Can I talk that dog? Let's shut up and grab some tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? We are back for another hour here on the Film Guy Network. It is a loaded local hour. We got some unfortunate news to talk about here at the top. I thought it would be good for us to do a depth check before the last show before G-Day, and then do the same exact thing the first show back from G-Day. Just kind of see how what we thought the depth chart was going into it and what we know the depth chart to be coming out of it, okay? So that'll be fun tonight. We'll get an opportunity to do that. We have final thoughts before G-Day, and it is Thursday during the offseason, which means we have Discord Q&A. If you want to join our Discord, it's patreon.com/BrooksAustin. It's also where all of our practice observations come, all of our practice notes, all of our intel, all of our recruiting stuff, which is about to start taking off like a rocket ship because starting next week, I am all across the state of Georgia seeing recruits, seeing different football programs, learning different things. So we got a lot going on over there. Patreon.com/BrooksAustin. Let's start with the bad news. Sad news, Amaris Williams, non-contact injury. I have not been able to confirm the severity of the injury. I do believe Graham Coffey has reported that it is a torn ACL. I haven't heard, like I said, severity of the injury. I've just been told knee injury, he got a knee.
Yeah.
The inklings certainly don't sound good.
Not good. So let's just assume that he is going to be out for the foreseeable future. That is an 8 to 12-month recovery. Now, I will say this. That is a twitchy human being. If anybody's going to have rapid recovery, it's probably going to be him. Mm-hmm. But having this happen this time of the year means earliest window, maybe playoff time.
It's the George Pickens territory where you might get him for a playoff run if possible.
Correct. This sucks for a multitude of reasons, but it really sucks because this was your Band-Aid for immediate, like twitch, immediate pass rush, immediate life, get home now type of guy. And that is the apart from, you know, giving Gabe a breather and giving Quintavious a breather and being like the third guy in that rotation at both, or the first guy in that rotation at both of those positions, defensive end and Jack, which is what he was kind of shaping up to do this year for Georgia. More importantly, what is going to have to get replaced is the immediate twitch, right? Because if you're just telling me like, hey, Gabe's got to play more now, I'm like, okay, well, he's going to be okay with that. Gabe's fine with that. Same thing for Quintavious. Like, they don't – never, ever did I watch tape last year and be like, hey, 0-33 got to come off the field. They're gassed. It just doesn't happen for those guys. They play like their hair's on fire every down. So that's not my concern. My concern is, like I said, the immediate pass rush win, which my mind immediately goes to Chase Linton. Like, that's a major role now for you, buddy. Like, there's no, hey, we need you to be great come November. Like, we kind of need you to be able to do this come August.
Does this change the role that Chris Cole might play in the
as a rusher?
Yes.
Yeah, but the thing about Chris, and they fell into this last year, I felt like, and they did too. They would tell me things like this where – you have to avoid having Chris do everything and being a master of none.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He's great at all of that, but, like, you know, we kind of need you to develop as one or the other.
Right.
You know, like, on third down, he's our best guy to cover tight ends, but what if he's also our best edge rusher? We can't do both. You know what I mean? And you can't work a lather at either. You know what I mean? Like, pass rushing guys, quarter one looks totally different than quarter four, because it's a rhythm thing. I understand when he's throwing hands. I understand where his kick slide is. I understand where the drop point is of the quarterback come second, third, fourth quarter. I start working a groove. I start working a lather. Then I start beating ass. Like, that's kind of how it works for most of these guys at the edge rusher position. So that kind of knocks that down.
So maybe the correct person to maybe point at would be Zayden Walker, like someone from the linebacker room beat him.
Yeah.
Because you got other bodies at the linebacker room to where he could be the guy that's like, all right, you were good at this last year. Might need to put some more time into that.
And it puts more emphasis on Elijah Griffin being the freak show that he's supposed to be on passing downs, right? Anybody that can show flash of getting to the quarterback now. It doesn't even have to be an edge rusher. You know, like when Georgia, I felt like when Georgia was their best in terms of high pressure rates and getting guys on the ground and forcing havoc and stuff like that, it's when they had three techs that could beat guards now.
Yep. Yeah,
and like get home to quarterback's feet and get in their face immediately. So that is something that they're going to have to find. And they've got plenty of bodies, all right? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, this was something that they brought this guy in because they knew he could bring life to something that they needed to to have solved. And now he's out.
Yeah, I think that's why it stings more than anything, correct, too, because there was so much excitement to see what it looked like. Yeah. Like, this was something you hadn't seen as a Georgia fan, or at least in this uniform, this specific player, and now it's being taken away from you.
I mean, the film from last year was just explosive, to say the least. It was extremely fun to watch.
Last time this happened, you won a natty, though.
With the Pickens thing?
Oh, are you going to do it? Are you going to do the...
Just saying.
Not all bad news is bad news.
Also, I hate that. Maybe I don't feel like I have to do this, but I feel like it's worth mentioning because I saw multiple tweets about it. If you are the person going to Twitter right now blaming this on Kirby Smart practicing too hard, this ain't the sport for you to follow, probably. And I believe this was in a non-contact setting, supposedly, so I don't think that you have to blame. But if you know anything about football, especially Georgia football, you're going to hit.
You got to find a new sport. Find a new football team.
Yeah, maybe find a new football
team. You know, go be an Indiana fan. There's a lot of guys that tag off all the time.
Yeah, go be a Tennessee fan, Indiana fan, any of those programs, you know.
Go be an Indiana fan and try to – when you do, come back and tell me how they did it. That don't make no sense to me. My favorite interview in the entire Indiana process was Urban Meyer watching his brain explode when Kirk Cinetti was like, yeah, I mean, we don't really practice. I mean, that's not what he said, but that's what he said. In comparison to Urban Meyer basically killing people during workouts and during practice and having all kinds of heavy contact periods, to hear Kirk Cinetti be like, yeah, I mean, we get 15 practices in the spring, but I've never used them all. Huh?
Did you do something with the live?
Yeah, I had to switch the batteries, so it fuzzed on y'all. I apologize. Okay.
I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, no, the batteries were dying on me, so I had to fix that. That's on me, guys. It should be fixed now. I apologize. Yeah, I had to turn around, switch the batteries. They were dying. We're good now, though.
Yeah,
should be.
Should be good now. Speaking of now, let's go to the board now and do a little depth check.
The board is ready for you.
Thank you, sir. All right, we do this every, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, and I'm going to do my best not to draw an inappropriate object on the screen today. And I'm going to do that by writing names instead of numbers. Hey, Jonathan, I found both pins. One just hit the ground.
I just lost one.
I found them both. I got them both. Let's start with the offense, and let's start with the offensive line. Let's start over here at left tackle. We're going to pencil in Ernest Green right now, and then Zakai Helton right there next to him. And we're going to pencil Drew on paper, knowing he is not available for the spring. Does everybody understand that? This looks terrible, doesn't it?
It does. Right. I would honestly just do numbers.
Just do numbers?
Just do numbers, and if you draw something, we'll laugh for a few seconds.
All right, 71. Zakai is 54. Will you look up the roster? Mm-hmm. Let's just put Zakai right here.
He's Zakai, 55.
74 is Drew Bobo's number. Obviously, Malachi Tolliver, 51, and Cortez Smith, who I don't know the number of. Pull up the
Zakai
roster for me.
Zakai is 55.
All right. Zakai is 55. All right. Let's put him in here. What is Cortez Smith's number?
I believe he's 50.
Donnie Glover here at right guard.
Cortez Smith is 50.
And then 73, Juan Gaston in there at right tackle. We talked about this last night with the rotations, right? This will be the first unit that I think will go out. At least it was this last Saturday during their second their final scrimmage before G-Day, okay? If not, Zakai will be not with the ones. All right, Juan Gaston will come over here and play this guard spot, and Ja Jackson will come in here at tackle. That will happen at some point on Saturday. You'll see that rotation. It won't be 9 sets of offensive linemen like we saw from Florida this past weekend, but it'll be a good rotation.
So they're going to go full unit on this scrimmage, you think? Like, it's not going to be a one guard here, a two tackle, maybe we'll get the two center, to see like how each player individually, like they're looking for a unit as a whole.
As long as I've covered Georgia, they have never gone out there and just been like, hey, the three tackles randomly with the one left guard, and then there's the two center, and then there's the starting right tackle, and then the three. No, it normally looks like we got a group of ones, and there's like six guys that rotate with the ones. And then we got a group of twos, and there's like six or seven guys that rotate with the twos. And the ones are with the one quarterback, and the twos are with the two quarterback. And that now, whether or not they go against the ones defense or the twos defense, that's up to the coach, and they kind of flip-flop that throughout the scrimmage. But no, Kirby, I've never seen them do the, hey, offense is going against defense today like Florida did. Florida did. Offense is going versus defense today. If the defense gets a stop, it's worth 7 points. If they hold them to a field goal, it's worth three, that kind of thing. Yeah. They scored it weird. I don't expect Georgia to do that. All right, now, I talk about depth charts on the offensive line as travel squad guys. Mm-hmm. All right, so that is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys you need to kind of pay attention to in competition for who's going to play with those quote-unquote ones. Obviously, this is a non-discussion point, right? The moment Drew's healthy, he's the guy.
Yep.
These two are fighting right now to figure out who's going to play if Drew gets hurt next year or this fall, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, okay? Now, interior offensive linemen to pay attention to. We've already got them both here. Cortez Smith and Malachi Tolliver. I do think they're going to get guards reps on Saturday. They've been getting them this spring. I would imagine they continue to do so during G-Day. My only question at tackle besides the three that they got going on right now is how fast can Ekene Agboko get ready to play college football?
Yeah.
Okay, because of all the tackles that they have outside of the three that we've talked about tonight, Ekene is the quote-unquote future, if you will. My other questions that I'm very curious to see, I got four names. What the hell are they doing with Michael Unai? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll just put M Unai over here. Same thing with Daniel Calhoun. What the hell is going on there? Haven't heard much at all this spring from either of those names. Another guy I'm paying attention to, Marcus Harrison. I know they loved him a lot coming out of high school. He wasn't very highly rated, but I've heard some decent things throughout his first 2.5 years at the University of Georgia. And a freshman other than Zakai and Ekene that I've heard a lot about is Graham Houston. I've heard somebody compare him to Dylan Fairchild. And if you get that, that means you have an extremely high floor the moment you show up into high school or college football.
Strong as hell.
And you're strong as hell.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that going on. Did I miss anybody? Is chat talking about any names? Questions about any
Chat's
guys?
Chat's just roasting
that
me
missed?
For liking flavorless chips. You're doing great.
I mean, if y'all know this guy, he is chicken and rice, buddy. I mean, he shows
Bland
up.
Bland is king.
I mean, his bro, seasoning cabinet probably. His seasoning cabinet probably bland as all
Tostitos
can be. My man
chips
is,
aren't bland. They're great.
My man worries about nitrates and sodium counts. You thought that chip list was going to be banging?
Man.
No.
The chip list was good.
Buddy, you don't got no body fat on you. Don't nobody trust you about your food takes. Here's my opinion about food. You want to learn what to do at the buffet line, just find the fattest guy in the room and follow him. He going to put you on game. Mm. Not Lay's potato chip, basic original flavor guy.
Lay's was not on the list.
You know what I mean. Tostitos
they were not on the
lime.
List.
I hear
that
lime
was
chipping.
Those are delicious.
No dip.
Dude.
No dip on the chip is crazy.
That's the whole point of the list. The chips just got to be the ranking.
All right. Enough about giving you hell. We good on the offensive line?
Yeah.
I gave chat time to give me questions and give me hell about anybody I missed. All right. We're good there. Let's move on. Let's go to quarterbacks. Be nice and simple. Okay. QB. You got Gunnar Stockton, I would die for. Okay. We all would. Raise your hand if you die for Gunnar Stockton. Yep, that's what I thought.
Gunnar Stockton would die for me, so I'd die for Gunnar Stockton.
He would. We got the old Pugga versus Monty. Is that what we're gonna call him? We gotta get a nickname for Monty.
Monty Pugga.
Yeah, let's call him Monty. We got Pugga versus Monty at that QB2 position. And then we're probably gonna go Buddha. All right. And then Beaver. Okay? Now, my question, and y'all know it, chat. Y'all already hitting on it. Colton or Coulter? Coulter?
Colton Ginn.
My man Ginn.
I think it's Colton Ginn.
I want to see Ginn spin this weekend. Probably won't. That's unfortunate.
Could.
Who gets
more reps, Bryson Beaver or Colton Ginn?
Beaver.
You think so?
Yeah. I think they actually have investment maybe into Beaver for the future. So. Yeah, I'm interested to see what this looks like, height, weight, and, you know, in a Georgia uniform. We haven't seen it. The rest of these
guys
we've
seen. I think
it's going
to look really good.
This guy looks so beautiful.
Yeah.
He looks like he could play some damn ball. Any thoughts?
I think Colton Ginn is the type of guy where it's like you're up 40 and finally that guy. Like the Jackson Muschamp moment, I feel like, of holy hell, this guy can play too?
No offense to my man Jackson Muschamp, but Colton Ginn. Is slightly better.
I don't think that's unfair to say.
All right. Let's go to running back. Okay. Now, here's how I got it. I got it. Nate. Chauncey. Okay.
But I think chat's correct. This it might be Coulter.
Short yardage. Dowdle.
Mm-hmm.
Third down. Question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Other question marks about this room. Does Peanut force their hand? Does he force their hand to create a role for him? Is he explosive enough to where we have to get him 7 to 8 touches per game? We got to manufacture it somehow, some way. I think the answer might be yes.
Did,
I think at some point it will be.
And we've beat this horse to death a couple of times, but do you feel like you did that last year?
Yeah, and again, we still don't have an answer. We don't know why it disappeared. I might text and find that out. Probably should have a long time ago, honestly. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know what went on there, but something went on. He just disappeared from the rotation, and it wasn't like he was on injury reports. So I don't know what went on at that point. And the other question is obviously P and pass, right? When it's an automatic passing situation, who is playing running back for the University of Georgia this fall? I have never known Nate to be a great weapon after the catch the ball out of the backfield type of guy.
We also just don't know, though.
But we don't know,
mm-hmm.
right? But here's how – you always heard me to say this. Your usage and how coordinators use you indicates to me what they think of your skill set.
But do you think that Cash Jones was just so good at that role that they didn't want to use anybody else?
For sure.
Else?
I think so.
For sure. But Trevor Etienne got that role with Cash Jones on the roster. Trevor Etienne got stop screens. They'd motion
fair.
To empty and give
That's
him
fair.
The ball
no,
and
I mean,
run.
There's certainly so no denying that Nate hasn't been necessarily featured in the passing game.
Etienne.
He has. I mean, he has
Achane?
Gotten reps.
Etienne.
Nate hasn't been necessarily featured in the passing game, but he has gotten reps in that. And he's a lot of swing passes gone his way this year. Like, now, granted, those might be checkdowns, but still. I think there's an avenue for him to be that.
Bo Walker. Who else am I missing in the room?
Jay Lamar.
I haven't heard much about Lamar.
I mean, how could you with how many names there are?
Yeah.
Nothing against him. But.
None. Yeah, nothing against him. All right, that is what we got going on. I think this is like 2027 and 28 plans.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so enough of the running backs.
What about Chauncey out of the backfield?
What's up?
What about Chauncey out of the backfield?
Yeah, again, don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. I think you're right in the sense that Cash was so good at it. They just know no one else got an opportunity to show that they can do
right.
it. And I do think Cash was really, really good.
It was.
That as well. And I think it's also like Kirby respects guys that dedicate a lot of time to the program. And I think that it was very evident that they carved out that role specifically for Cash because it's not like he was probably going to be contributing heavily anywhere else on the field.
All right. So we call this the Elias and position. Okay. Elias and who else? Right?
Really?
Yeah. That's
it's that quick, huh?
That's how I think it should be. Like, no offense to Lawson Lucky, but we're in 11, 10's on the field. If we're in 12, then we start the pecking order of who joins 10 until 10 needs a breather.
I mean, look, Elias Williams could absolutely be that undeniable. I think it's certainly fair. I'm just kind of surprised. Like, I don't think we've ever seen a senior get beat out at that position like that.
Not that he's beat out. Lawson's going to play just as many reps as he did last year, okay? It's about... This guy being a special football player, okay?
I guess John Fitzpatrick got beat out by Brock in 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just a bit.
John Fitzpatrick, the NFL football player, though.
Starting NFL football
player. Yeah.
12 personnel.
We can cut it off there.
You're All not right, putting now. Caden Prothro on this list, correct?
Correct. He's a wide receiver. We'll talk about him in just a second. Right, obviously, this guy's going to play a lot of snaps, right? Yep. This guy's going to play a lot of snaps. This guy right here has been the talk of spring camp from a after-the-catch standpoint, all right, which is one of the questions we're going to talk about in final thoughts. I think if I had an objective as a football coach at the University of Georgia this Saturday, it would be a multitude of things, but up at the top of them would be who is going to replace Zachariah's yards after the catch. And because we're still going to have a quarterback that's going to get blitzed a lot, we're going to have a football team that gets manned up a lot, we're going to have a football team that gets a lot of pressure at them, and the ball's going to have to come out of the quarterback's hands now. So whether that's Zakobi White, whether that's Jaden Riddell, whether that's Ethan Barbour, whoever it is, we got to find that out or have an inclination of who that is leaving Saturday. And we got to almost manufacture those touches. I think it ought to be balls thrown down the field off play action or out of empty or whatever. Just show nothing but take shots. And the other one should be get the ball out of his hands now and see who can actually do something. Because we're going to be tackling for the only time. I mean, we're going to get three more opportunities before we play our first game. Yeah. Right? We're going to tackle a little bit in fall camp, but not a ton. All right, so this is really it.
I would imagine the spring game is a good opportunity for that because you're keeping it vanilla anyways. What's more vanilla
100%.
And
just
I mean,
get the guy that's
what I'm saying. The offense ought to be designed off deep shots and yak opportunities because those are the two questions about our roster right now that we have.
Oh, I mean, the first two, maybe three games are going to be that this year as well.
Correct.
So they have time. I don't think they're going to press the issue too much on finding too many things out.
All right, let's talk about wide receiver, and we're going to do this per position. We're going to start with the X position. I think this is Kanyon versus Wiley. From here on out, how they perform and how they play will dictate which one of them is on the field majority of the time. Honestly, very similar to Colby and Noah last year. Colby was the better football player, so he played majority of the snaps. Mm-hmm. People were wondering, where's the Noah Thomas usage? Well, they don't subscribe to what we subscribed to last year, which was, hey, just play them both. Play Twix. Remember that?
Yep.
Like, hey, just play both of them at the same time. They didn't want to do that. I don't anticipate them to do that this year. Okay, so how we play here will ultimately depict, you know, and how we play moving forward will ultimately depict playing time. Same thing here at Z, all right, between London Humphreys and Talon Taylor, okay? I think how consistently physical we can be will depict how many opportunities we have moving forward for Talon. And I think if anybody surpasses the guy in front of them at these two positions to start, it's probably Talon over London. Well, this guy has had a great spring in Kanyon.
I was going to say, I think that Talon also, while London and Talon do play very similar positions, basically the same position, I think Talon certainly has a different role in the offense that he would. Like, he's probably going to come in and be your home run guy.
Correct. 100%. Now, the slot position. You were asking about pro throw. I think they play two different types of body types at this position. I think they play Zukovi in here, and they play pro throw in here at this position.
Do they put Caden pro throw at the X at all just because of size? Or is
could,
it...
but again, we're full here. Mm-hmm. This room is good, I think, right now with these two getting reps. And also, I don't want him in bump and run situations out there against bigger, longer corners.
That's fair.
If you pay attention to SEC football nowadays, guys, they're – no offense, I love this guy. He's a friend of the show. There ain't a Brandon Boykin in this conference anymore. There's not a 5'9" corner out there that's just an absolute speed demon that can run. In fact, D'Angelo Pons is kind of a rarity.
Yeah.
Okay, he's a real rarity.
Right.
And they played him in zone coverage all year long.
Is Brandon Boykin that small?
Brandon Boykin's sub 5'11", yeah. Helps, maybe sub 5'10" at the combine. What do you got?
5'10" flat.
Yeah. But anyways, nowadays, everybody's kind of long and big out there. You know, no offense, but like Dejon Lee's not going to be afraid of Caden Prothro walking out there.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this the other day. It seems like corners are getting longer and longer.
Longer and longer and longer. So the closer we can get these guys into the ball in their early portions of their career, the more space we can give them naturally based off of alignment, the more success they'll have early on. Now, questions. Guys that have to earn a role kind of, right? We'll put these guys in earn a role. They probably already have a role, but it's more of like, hey, you keep doing stuff, we'll have to expand your role, right? I put Landon Roldan in this position.
Where does he fall? What position does he fall in for you?
All the above. I think he can probably play a little Z, probably play a little slot. He will do the let's put him in there and take a shot things very similar to Talon.
Uh-huh.
They did this against, I think it was Auburn Florida. Or maybe Florida. It was Florida last year.
Tried it on
they,
a post.
Yeah, they gained.
They
about got it. They about hit it. So, yeah, he'll be used as that role, just like a burner in there, get in some mix and, you know, hopefully pop him for a 3 for 95 one day and get hot. That kind of thing sick. Right there with him. Who else we got? Dandridge as a true freshman. I expect him to play a role somewhere. Very similar to this guy as well. Very similar to this guy and this guy. All right, the ability to get in there, be a one-move route runner, maintain speed, run past the safety, run past the nickel. That stuff is really, really dangerous and needed in college football. The other name that I've heard good things about is, hey, this guy's a hit. This guy is a physical specimen, and he is turning the corner
is Thomas Blackshear, the wide receiver out of Calvary Day down there in Savannah. Okay. Another name to note, we'll see if it pops out this weekend, is Tyler Williams, the kid from Florida.
Wasn't it?
I wanted to say, I knew he was from Florida. I want to say Lakeland. He's not from Lakeland.
That was the other Tyler Williams.
Tyler Williams. Yeah, good job. All right, let's move over to the defensive side of the football. Let's talk about nose tackles. Okay. Now, we know Xavier McLeod is going to play next to Elijah Griffin this year. And the question for me is, if he comes off the field, if he needs to come off the field, and we don't play 2-3 techniques or two defensive tackles, we actually have to have a 6'4" plus, 310-pound plus guy run out there on the field and hold to stop the run on early downs. Is it Nasir Johnson, the guy I've loved forever but can't seem to get on the field? Or is it Nnamdi Ogboko, all right, the brother of Ekene, the older brother of Ekene, who is an absolute tree stump?
Yes.
I mean, Ogboko is one of the thicker human beings that they have on the roster. But they got to figure something out here.
Yeah.
Because as much as I love X, I love X playing 50 snaps, not X playing 65 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to really, really condense this and get maximum value out of him. I think he could be a difference maker defensive tackle in this conference if we can get him to play at a high rate all the time.
Right.
Okay. What's up? You about to say something?
I thought you were pointing at us to try and fill some dead air there for a second, but
yeah, because I had to cough. But we're all good. We're all good. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep it trucking. Let's go on to
Talking about spring, by the way, chat. We got people asking about Jordan Hall. We're talking about spring, so by the
Yeah, Jordan Hall not available. Jordan Hall not available, and he would be in the defensive tackle category, not the nose tackle category.
Mm-hmm.
The way I always assume this is if he looks closer to Jordan Davis's body type, he might have a chance to play nose. If he looks like Devontae Wyatt, he's probably a 3-tech.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easiest way to kind of contextualize it for the common audience. All right, let's go over here to these defensive tackles. It's obviously going to be led by Elijah Griffin, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the Joshua Horton category this spring as well. This is where Jordan Hall would come into the equation. All right, this is also Valdon-Sohn territory, I would imagine. Now, Valdon is such a large human being, he might be able to play nose. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if next year Valdon and Elijah play together.
Do they often cross? Like, I feel like the last one to do this was Jalen Carter.
So, I don't think, and I could be wrong, and I don't chart this enough, but I don't view them as a mint front football team anymore.
No, they don't have
not
a true
the
zero.
Last couple. They don't have a true zero. They have a shade and a three,
right,
and the shade might bump to a head up zero every once in a while if you want to attach a tight or something like that. But if you line up in a traditional offense nowadays, I don't think they're going to line up in mint front defense because they don't have a Jordan Davis type. So yeah, you ask if they're cross trained. Yes, they are. They're cross trained now to. Because of the motion going on in football now, too, where we flip formations, I can't have you getting your big ass up and switching positions. You just need to slide. And that's how that works. So, yes, they have to be cross-trained by nature nowadays. But they still recruit two separate body types, right?
For sure.
They still definitely do, with almost the intentions to be a mint front football team. But it's hard to find a unicorn like Jordan Davis. Now, I will tell you who is obviously still trying to be a mint front dude. Will Muschamp at Texas. It's very clear to me that he's still trying because he took the Jaffard kid from Arkansas.
Yeah.
That's 400 pounds and ain't never done much, but he's big. You know what I mean? And the first thing he did to Hero Canoe was like, hey, you got to play at 335 this year. What? Because I've been 315 my whole life. Oh, it's just,
double the Chick-fil-A order.
You'll be all right. By the way, here's $1 million.
Go spend it on Chick-fil-A.
Go spend it on Chick-fil-A. Defensive end. Let's talk about this. Okay. Now, Gabe is obviously out this spring. He will be your starter.
Yep.
Now, this is going to be crazy, but I think Justin Green's going to roll out there with the ones on Saturday.
Good for Justin Green.
At defensive end. I think he will be spelled by JJA, Joseph Jonah Ajonye, and JJ Hane. Okay.
Nice and simple.
That is the mix there at defensive end. Let's split this screen right now and go ahead and put Jack right here as well because they're kind of similar positions. We obviously know Quintavious Johnson is going to play a role as the starter and the guy at this position. Right now, it sounds like Chase Linton is his backup, with Isaiah Gibson and is that two A's in that? Isaiah Gibson, and we're just going to put Icky, my man Ike Nagbun, behind him. Now, these two guys were top 75 football players. This guy was a lowly three-star out of North Atlanta when he was recruited and signed or committed to Georgia. Mm-hmm. He ended up inside the top 100. It's funny how that works. But anyways, Amaris would have played both of these positions. Okay.
Damn.
And now we know that that is no more.
Mm. Good thing he has multiple years.
Right, right. And we're going to grab a medical.
Yep.
Right? So that's good. Okay, we're good on the DNs and the Jacks?
Yes.
Can I just do this and save everybody time?
Oh, yeah, just go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think there's too much controversy at this position.
Them.
Yeah.
Good?
Pretty cut and dry like normal there.
Good. All right. Star. I have no clue.
I'm interested in this one.
I have no clue, boys. This is all I know. Khalil Barnes is going to start.
Got to be Dink, right?
Don't know who's behind him. Dink's got to – bro, Dink was playing star all year last year, and now all of a sudden through 14 practices is going to have to bump back to safety. So unless he is bilingual already, then, yeah, maybe he can play both. But if he's just now learning how to play safety, he needs to stay at safety, and he doesn't need to be cross-trained. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't hate that take. I mean –
But, I mean, dude, if he knows it, yeah, he can practice both. He can be the depth of both. He probably is the answer at both, right? If Khalil got hurt, they probably would bump Dink down
because
he knows the position. But he's got to know safety, by the way.
Let's say hypothetically we're in the 2023 season. Tyke Smith suffers an injury. He's out of the game.
Bull comes back
down.
They
put Javon Bullard back at the start.
Correct.
And that's kind of the logic I'm using.
The same thing would happen here. Like, if he gets hurt, it would be Dink right behind him, right? And he probably is on the depth chart. However, on Saturday, Dink's probably not going to get too many star reps because he needs to get all those safety reps.
For sure.
So what we're going to find out is what is the depth behind Dink look like at this position, I think, is what we're ultimately going to find out because I don't think he's going to take reps there on Saturday. So we'll find out. That's my biggest question there. Let's talk about safety right next to it. Okay, this is a KJ and situation. Okay, yeah. KJ and right now it's KJ and Dink, it's KJ and Zion. All right, and it's KJ and maybe a little Tyreek Green getting reps with some ones. Okay, and then after that, it's guys like where are we at? Guys like Blake Stewart. Okay, who's going to be a good player at Georgia, by the way? Okay, that's not how you spell Stewart, but you get it.
You know, even if you spell it
We have
correct.
Our expectations very low.
Even if you
here.
Spelled it correctly, I don't think it'd be legible.
Y'all ready for some anticlimactic?
Yep.
Yes, please.
Very much like the linebacker room.
Ellis DeMello. We just gave the podcast listeners like 10 seconds of ASMR.
All right.
Yeah, we did.
Ellis and DeMello, and then Braylon Connolly versus Jonte Gilbert. I would imagine you look up and these two guys' tongues are dragging by the end of practice.
Probably.
Ain't nobody going to get more reps than these guys. Their GPS catapults are going to be through the roof. It's going to be get this guy some water. All right, there's the depth check.
I like it.
Lovely. Thank you for that.
Chad always enjoys that. Did they enjoy that as much today?
They did.
They were very involved.
Yeah, were they making fun of my handwriting as usual?
No, they're still on me for my food choices.
All right, we have Discord Q&A going up on a Thursday. This one's supposed to be G-Day editions. Let's go for it. Best G-Day performance last 5 years. Shout out Makai Muse.
Makai Muse had a really good one. I will never, ever forget the Dominic Lovett G-Day performance.
The Dom Lovett G-Day performance was insane.
Oh, buddy, man.
We were making dudes miss before we even touched the ball.
2024 Dom Lovett G-Day.
Third-round draft pick. Easy third-round draft pick.
I thought he was going to be – oh, gosh. I thought that season was going to be so special.
Did not pan out that way.
It didn't, unfortunately. But, man, That was the best he ever looked in Georgia uniform.
CJ Allen 2 years ago was
That was the same year, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was pretty crazy.
A.D. Mitchell in 21 stole the show.
Oh, that's when we found out how to pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. I remember that very much.
Adonai Mitchell.
I'm trying to think of like early Jake Fromm had a really good spring day in 2017 coming into that year.
Yes, he did.
Some people were like, "Hey, maybe he should start over Jacob Eason." And
what pass catcher shows off the most at G-Day?
Pass catcher?
Elias Williams? I was going to say, it'll be one of the big freaks.
I think it'll be Prothrow.
Caden Prothrow, maybe. You know what? Caden Prothrow.
Prothrow, Williams, or Isaiah Kanyon would be my top three candidates right there. Or Hezekiah Moander. Who has the most to gain? And I don't want to say the counter to that. I guess he's talking about G-Day. Who has the most to gain during G-Day?
I would now say it's whoever's going to play behind Quintavious.
Yeah.
I mean, that spot just opened right up for those guys.
JJA or
– like Chase Linton. JJA, but like Chase Linton, Isaiah Gibson, those two guys, they have the most to gain right now, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
I think Landon Roldan's another name you could throw out there. Like, there's always that wide receiver that makes big plays where it's like, dang, we might need to give them some more burn. So, Landon Roldan could maybe do that. I don't know.
Surely one of those linebackers not named Chris Cole or Justin Williams could earn, like, he has to play territory.
I've also – I know it's a lot of – it's a big deal for fans. I don't feel like there's ever really a moment where coaches don't kind of know what they have already. Like, I don't think that there's going to be a game that Landon Roldan has or Sakovi White-Hutton goes. It's like, oh, my – we didn't know he had this gear. We need to find new reps for him. Like, I think it's kind of just a validation of what you see.
Mm-hmm. Can you see Nasir Johnson making his way into anything playing time wise, and how does he achieve this? For me, man, like I watching as much defensive tape as I've watched, like individual player tape as I've watched the last month, so much so that my son believes my job is to sit on the couch and watch football. Goated. But the thing I've noticed is that if you don't play hard, you couldn't play for me.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain guys that I have on the board over there that have big X's next to them, as in, like, no way, couldn't do it. Because when you stack all these guys up, which is what these coaches do all spring and all fall, they sit there and watch practice rep after practice rep after practice rep. They rewind it and run it and rewind it and run it and rewind it and then go to the next one. They're doing the same thing I'm doing. And when you do this, the lack of effort or the lack of consistent effort is a dead, like, sore thumb sticking out, and it makes you want to avoid playing that person or avoid drafting that person or being associated with that person. And what I say this to say about Nasir, you want to be undeniable, you want to be a guy that has to play at your size and your skill set, be a guy that every time coach turns the tape on goes, good God, when did Nasir start playing this hard?
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, you're on the field. Like, I think the effort and the general motor of an athlete on the defensive side of the football is far more important than anything else on the defensive side. If you don't like to run and you don't like to hit, you can't play, period. That would be the rule.
I think it's also the guys with the high motor stick out so much more. Like, Javon Bullard in 2022 kind of carved his role because of what he was doing early in the season of this guy's playing with his hair on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two Javon Bullard references in the last 10 minutes. Shout out.
Why is Caden Prothrow going to win the Heisman as a freshman?
Oh, don't do that. They don't win.
That's 9-10 Cooper. He stay off the dog sauce. He own the dog sauce 24/7.
Caden Prothrow wins the Heisman if Gunnar Stockton throws for 4,500 yards. That'd be the first thing.
I think
if Gunnar Stockton throws for 4,500 yards, I'll dye my hair blue.
Why blue? Why not red? Like for the
I'll
dogs?
Dye red. Wait, if I dye my hair, do I have to shave it, or do I just let it grow out and then cut it?
You just have to let it grow back.
Right. And then go through that era where I'm like half red, half black. Yeah. Okay, I'm fine with that.
Very aggressive
highlights. If Gunnar Stockton throws for 4,500 yards, I will dye my hair red.
All
right. Put it on the board.
Let's do it.
I like it.
Get to work, Gunnar.
Who takes Amaris' role this season as the twitchy edge rusher? We've already addressed this at this point in the show, but my man Josh Armstrong always has good stuff. Do you see that as the biggest need, or do you see Gunner's downfield passing ability as the biggest missing key that could lead to a natty appearance? Yeah, I mean, both of those things, right? You got to be able to impact the passer, and you got to be a good passer.
Give me the impact in the passer more. Like,
you think so? I mean, yeah.
If Georgia had 15 more sacks on defense last year, I think that offense was perfectly capable of leading them to a Heisman or a national championship.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. It wasn't the best offense we've ever seen under Georgia, but when you needed the defense most, they kind of let you down in certain areas. We saw that offense put up 45 points in a game. Mm-hmm. They could do it. So I would say the defense is probably my preference.
Who's the guy that needs a big day? We've kind of already talked about that. I think, for me, I want to see Pugga have a big day. Mm-hmm. I kind of need to see what I thought I was going to see coming out of high school.
Yeah.
I was big on that stock coming out. And it's just, we haven't seen much from him at all anyways.
You haven't seen?
Because he was another one of these guys that had a knee injury, couldn't play his first spring game, right?
Correct.
So last spring was the first time we actually saw him. And Kentucky was the game where we only actually got to see him run offense really last year.
We just haven't
seen anything.
No, we haven't seen Ryan Puglisi enough to even be like, oh, I'm excited about this. Like, all the excitement that we hear about his name is from what the traits he has and what you hear at practice. Like, even like with Carson Beck, you got enough reps of him in 2022. It's like, oh, this guy's really good. This guy can be something. You kind of saw that with Gunner in the Orange Bowl. Ryan hasn't had that opportunity. That's not through his fault, but.
On to the next question. Is Ryan or Ryan quietly becoming the new JF or JF?
I think Ryan's better than Ryan.
Colin says, I was a JF guy myself.
I'm liking Ryan more than Ryan right now.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about the...
Kind of a toss-up on the Ryans right now.
The difference in the Ryan versus Ryan debate is one isn't for the starting quarterback right now. Now, next season, we might have a whole new thing on our hands, but it felt like the JF versus JF was very much, we just want the new shiny toy over.
I was
over.
A Fromm over Fields guy. I don't know about you guys.
I was too.
Oh, yeah, I was too.
I mean, I was. I think that's fairly well documented. We all were.
Yeah.
Justin Fields, no doubt more talent.
The only thing that was sparking that controversy truly was the fact that Justin Fields was a 5-star. And also add in the fact that he was a dual threat 5-star.
He was a dual threat 5-star. And Jake Fromm struggled. Like, the 2018 LSU game was not his best work.
Mm-hmm.
He had some moments where I was like, oh, maybe they need to change things. But
it ironically applies to this conversation, because if you want to start at Georgia, don't turn the ball over.
Yep.
If you want to play at this university for this football coach, don't turn the ball over. Play clean in practice. You'll have an opportunity to start. Hell, I think Stetson proves that.
Mm-hmm.
The best player will play here. He always will.
But at quarterback,
it's not just the most talented player. It is the player who plays the system the best.
Did you see Munkin's comments about Stetson?
Yeah, I did. Those are two odd birds, Stetson and Monk.
I got the vibe from that Monk still kind of harbors some...
Oh, no, they didn't work together well.
No.
Now, they had great results,
mm-hmm.
but they bumped heads quite often.
Definitely.
And they still bump heads, it seems.
That's what I was gonna say.
The comment about some of these – what did he say? He's like, he didn't even graduate?
Some of these guys play 6 to 5 years, and they don't even graduate. Like, Stetson didn't graduate.
Well, he even was, like, on the talk with, like, why he didn't play him. He's like – yeah, there was just things that I didn't want him. But
that he's got to own up to, and yeah, I have to own up to.
Some of those things he has to own as well. It's like, what are you?
But ultimately, I would say respect to Todd for sitting there and standing in the paint and being like, I was wrong.
Yeah.
And not even that. Like, didn't say he was wrong, but also went to bat for Stetson and said, anybody that says that he wasn't a reason why Georgia won the national title specifically in 2022, they're dead wrong.
He said in 2021 we won with him. In 2022 we won because of him.
And then, by the way, he went to bat for him in 2021. There were people saying that Todd Monken needs to be fired because he kept starting Stetson Bennett. I vividly remember that. So Todd Monken, while the two of those guys probably aren't big fans of each other, there's always been a respect there on that. So shout out to that.
You mentioned you listened to Chris Sims a lot a while back. I enjoy his content and my favorite NFL draft guy. He was trying to be coy, but when he gushed about Zachariah Branch, he insinuated that Gunner held him back. One of many of the league guys who don't like Gunner. Is he off base, and can Gunner take a big step to show nationally he's a good college quarterback? Well, first of all, I think the nation, like national college football people who watch college football and understand what college football is, they already know Gunner's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think what NFL draft people fall victim to is they watch 12 NFL draft prospects mm-hmm. that are NFL draft prospects because they throw the ball really pretty and they do things from the pocket that translate to Saturday, and they're watching cut-ups like that. I can't express to you how much cut-up clip watching deteriorates or shifts the actual true narrative of what's going on. Because I can almost guarantee you right now, he works for PFF, doesn't he? Doesn't he do a show with Florio?
I believe so.
Sims does a show with Florio, doesn't he?
I believe so.
I guarantee you, I can 100% almost guarantee you that he is watching his stuff on PFF, and he probably pulls up every single route that Zachariah Branch runs. He's not watching the full like game. He's not watching the flow of the game. He's just watching Zachariah Branch run routes and then go, well, damn, you're wide open right here. Why isn't your quarterback throwing the football? Not understanding the full nuance of what's actually going on.
And I also think that there's two different types of media outlets or media personalities in this sport as a whole. One looks at this through the eyes of college football. What are you as a college football player? How do you play on Saturdays? The other looks at through how would you be as an NFL player?
Mm-hmm.
I think going back to Stephen A. Smith of, oh, he sucks, he's terrible. That's you viewing it for the prism of NFL.
You know who's getting a ton of this? Marcel.
Yeah.
Marcel Reed's getting a lot of this. People watching Casey Concepcion tape going, God, this quarterback sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, yeah, dude, you've watched the 35 dropbacks today. You didn't watch the 75-yard run he had just a minute ago.
It's also the same reason why people fall in love with the Drew Allers and the Anthony Richardsons of the world, because they look at it and go, oh, this would absolutely work out.
Yeah.
Like, this would work out in the NFL. Like, you look at it through the prism of the NFL when you're not necessarily doing your due diligence. Now, it's not your job to, but when you give these takes, you have to be educated on it.
Do we see a 100-yard receiver this weekend? If so, who's it going to be?
If you see a 100-yard receiver this weekend, it's because they had two absolute bombs of plays. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's either going to be a Landon Roldan type guy or Talon Taylor, like someone who is a burner.
Joshua Armstrong says his guesses are pro throw with an OLI being Blackshear.
I would lean more Blackshear. Like, I could see pro throw getting like 6 for 70.
Between Ikenogban and Isaiah Gibson, who do you expect to flash more on Saturday? Chase Linton.
That's a good question.
I don't know. I don't have one question.
Where I'd say, oh, I expect him more.
Again, two players we haven't seen much of.
Yeah, correct. We just don't know yet.
Yeah. Who do you want to show more? Who do you want to show so much fire, passion, and energy that the coaches have to calm them down?
Oh, Zakai Helton.
Yeah, but I think that's going to be a already.
I know, but
Juan Gaston would be my answer.
I want to see it in person.
If Juan Gaston ever gets to the point where we got to hold him back without somebody saying something about his mama to get it to happen, the sky is the ever-loving limit. If that dude had a mean streak, he would be like the like God's best creation at tackle.
Is there a way to be a successful player without that, though?
Yeah, Andrew Thomas.
That's what I'm saying. Because
Andrew Thomas, I don't envision to be a killer.
No, like Brock Bowers wasn't me.
Jonathan Ogden wasn't this. I watched Michael Strahan talk about Jonathan Ogden. He said it was so terrifying because he would beat your ass and then just like chuckle.
his face didn't fit his helmet.
His face didn't fit his helmet. He said it would be so disorienting because you're looking across the line of scrimmage and this is like 6'8". 400-pound human whose face is like scratching his face mask and his helmet.
Looks like he's wearing a cross helmet.
Yeah, and he's like, the guy never ever said a mean thing ever. Was never angry. Was just out there getting it done because he's that gifted.
That's terrifying.
You know, even worse, like, you know what I mean? It's worse. I'd rather the guy tell me he's gonna murder me than laugh. That's so emasculating.
Yeah,
you know. Oh, fire, passion, energy, coach, calm down. We already got it. We named ours. With Amaris being sidelined, which edge rusher stands to benefit the most? We've kind of already hit on that a lot tonight.
Yeah, I think anything Amaris.
Yeah, we've already hit on.
Touched on enough.
Those that will be there in person, which groups do we need to be most attentive to? We already have a ton of bona fide dudes on our team. So who/what groups should I have my focus on?
I'd say star.
Star.
Be focusing on that one.
Star, safety.
Corner, because I mean, I'm
corner
not,
without the
I'm
two.
I'm not expecting to see a lot of Ellis.
I'm not
and
either.
Mello.
I don't expect them to get a lot of playing time.
And
Saturday.
Even then, you already know where they are, and there's going to be four corners on the field. So, I think that's kind of what you need to look for.
Do schools have insurance on players who get injured, or is it just a financial loss? the players themselves nowadays oftentimes have insurance, mm-hmm. but most of those are draft eligible guys that are coming back.
Yeah.
They get insurance on their body, basically,
mm-hmm.
that gives them payouts relative to their mock draft position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The year they chose to come back, right?
If they get hurt.
Yeah.
Like, there was a very famous case this year in the SEC where a player was medically ineligible and then got back to playing right around SEC championship time. That player did have insurance, and he was going to receive whatever he got if he had to medically retire at that slot.
Yeah,
and I think at the time he was like a third-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be that now.
Yeah.
He's back to playing football, and I think he's going to be a fourth, fifth, maybe sixth-round draft pick.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, there are player insurances, but, no, there's no, like, hey, I was slotted to pay Maris $900,000, and now he's not going to play. Do I get that money back? No, you don't. Mm-mm. Maris gets that money, and he rehabs hard.
Yep.
Unfortunately. It's a sunken cost business. It would be even worse back in the day, or back in the day, last year, because they front-loaded everything.
Oh, yeah.
So he would be hurt and just sitting at home getting racks. Actually, the racks would already be in the account.
Mm-hmm.
Now he actually has to show up and do his rehab. In your opinion, what are some things we can actually take away from G-Day?
I'm glad this question got asked because...
Are you going to say nothing? Don't do that. You can't do that.
I don't think people should take away as much that usually does get taken away. Like, we talked about this on the show of, like... Our takeaway in 2024 was Dom Lovett's going to be a dude. Or in 2021, like, JT Daniels is going to be the savior of this team. Or, like, there's Eric Gilbert is a guy after the 20. Like, I feel like we as fans and we as media, we've been so starved for so long that when we do finally get these things, we want to jump to these massive conclusions. Like, there can be some takeaways of, okay, here's where the roster's at, here's where the talent is. But I think the overarching, man, it's going to be a special season it for is, so-and-so.
I don't want to tamper the expectations for our lone spring football game that we have. I want you to have all the hype around this that you humanly possibly can. However, the best player at every G-Day that I've ever covered did absolutely jack diddly that fall.
Yeah. That's fair to say.
All of them. Like, even A.D. Mitchell's freshman year, he popped, and it was like, all right, he'll be good.
Mm-hmm. He'll be good, and then finally, in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have to talk about Avery Gilbert, but that was all the rave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you just have to
Even like
Brock Vandegrift had good springs for like two straight years.
I think you just have to understand that you have to take everything with a grain of salt, and you have to really contextualize everything.
I think you have to realize how just absolutely diabolically genius your football coach is that he might manufacture some of this stuff.
Sure.
He's that good.
Absolutely.
I think they are that smart that if they want somebody to have success, that person will have success.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So
I think that what you should do as a fan when you go into this event or you watch this event is to enjoy the fact that you get to get a first glimpse at the 2026 roster. Enjoy the fact that for a very small moment, for a minute, while it's a fraction of what it would be, you get to have a college football Saturday in Athens watching this team. I don't think you should be looking to walk away with any overarching, oh, this is the takeaway I have. This is what I can go into and think about our team going forward. Like, it's going to be another 6 months before these guys actually are playing football.
Last question we'll take for the night, and then I want to get you guys out of here so we can have the week to ourselves.
We have a Super Chub question as well.
We have a Super Chub we're going to get to. This one comes from Jamil Sire in the Discord. Which one of these three do I want to take? How would you improve G-Day? I think my thing would be somehow magically paying Maria Taylor to come back to do walk and talk with Kirby during the spring game. I thought that was some of the most available and open that he ever mm-hmm. is
and
actually talks ball in those situations.
Right. I mean, and when you could tell when Kirby favors an analyst, like mm-hmm. he loves Maria Taylor. She's a dog. She's covered this program. She's covered everything. She's done her job fantastically. Something like that, seeing a familiar face would be fantastic. Maybe like bring someone like Ludacris to perform before the game.
I don't know that that improved the ultimate experience.
I mean, we was at Dr. Pepper Fan Fest where Luda was performing.
Hey, Ludacris.
They wasn't packed out there.
Ludacris does a bang-up job in a concert, but the G-Day performance, not on him either. Wouldn't say that was on him, but.
You ever seen the Red Light District video where he's walking around with the big-ass Hulk hands?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
I The honest answer, I think, though, is if you want to greatly improve the presentation of G-Day, you have to make it more fan-centric, and I don't think Kirby Smart's ever going to sacrifice his practice time, his stuff for that, to make things, you know, solely about the fans.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but at the same point, it's like...
I have game day operations suggestions for them if they ever want them. But I don't want to take a shot at that guy. He does a good job. He works hard, but he needs to work less. The pregame stuff. We expose ourselves, too, in the student section for lack of ball knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Lack of ball knowledge.
I mean,
like we don't know Jack Diddley.
Well, I love
the school that we go to from a football standpoint.
I love our student section. A lot of those people, like, this is their first experience being indoctrinated in Georgia football. I do think that you do kind of expose them as, oh, they're not the loyal fans that have been paying attention for their entire lives, but they're passionate still.
Let's get to these super chubs before we call it a week here on the network. Michael Harrington, 223, says, saw you on High Top. I'm about what you're throwing down. Love all the videos on breaking down film. Michael sounds like an absolute sicko, and Michael has found the right place because that's what we got going on, a bunch of sickos. Can we get a Jaden Kelly Murray tape watch or a Will Rejecki tape watch?
Shout out to Sikora Chiefs.
Also, Kirby, go Chiefs.
Hell yeah.
My brother, go Dogs. Do you know Gavin Biffle?
I do not know Gavin Biffle personally.
All right, well, Gavin Biffle's a Sequoia Chief, and it can't be too many of those running around the internet. Kirby, the type of guy who refuses the free bowl of salsa at a Mexican restaurant.
I would never refuse free food. That's egregious.
That is true about him.
That's egregious.
That is very true about Kirby. I'll tell you this. I've never seen Kirby happy. You just don't see it. Like, he doesn't smile all that much.
What?
He doesn't. He doesn't smile all that much. He doesn't emote. You know what I mean? You don't see much from him. He's a very flat-lined individual. However, if you let him know there's continental breakfast at the hotel, that boy is juiced.
Yeah, dude.
That boy right there.
Yeah,
see what I mean? That's the kind of smile I get from him from continental breakfast. But if you tell him anything other than that, he's got a regular guy, which honestly, good for me because I'm always up here. You know what I mean? And I kind of need somebody to level me down a little bit. Gavin Biffle doubled down. Over under Pugga touchdowns, 1.5.
Over.
Elias William catches, 2.5.
Over.
Over that. Over.
Zakai Helton pancakes, 1.5.
Let's go over all across the
clearing
board.
The overs.
I think
let's
do it. Clear overs on that.
Hey, I love you guys. I had fun this week. I hope you did too. I hope you hit that thumbs up button on your way out. Love you. Bye.
Saying no to free salsa.